You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's racing podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and joining me for this edition is Andrew Mount. Andrew, good afternoon. How are you?
Greetings, Jack. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I haven't seen you for a while.
So, no, yeah. we had to say Happy New Year when we walked in, didn't we?
It's right. It's still officially okay. It's the 31st of January when we're recording this.
Just crept in time.
Absolutely.
It might not be when people listen to it, but overlook that anecdote for now. So I was going to talk to you about a couple of things that are making the headlines in the Racing Post, but we look back on yesterday's podcast with John Budden, and I just wanted to ask you about things that caught your eye at the weekend that weren't necessarily obvious.
Yes, indeed. There's a couple of horses on my tracker from the weekend. One of those is Wind, Place and Show, who was only 7th of 14 in a maiden hurdle at Doncaster. But that was his third run over jumps, and he now qualifies for a handicap mark. Now, on the flat, this horse was much better right-handed, and he won at Sandown. Generally needed a stiff track. He also won a couple of times at Pontefract. But he's had three runs over hurdles on flat left-handed tracks, which simply didn't suit him on the flat and don't seem to do so over hurdles either. So I think they're teeing this one up for a decent race and perhaps even something like the Imperial Cup at Sandown. Or certainly, you know, a decent handicap hurdle on a stiffer track. So put Wind, Place and Show from the James Eustace Yard in your tracker and back him first time out in a handicap hurdle. Because I think he'll go well, particularly if he's given a stiffer test of stamina.
Yeah, be interesting to see where he turns up.
Absolutely. So yeah, hopefully he'll get into the Imperial Cup, but he might need to find a race before then.
Yeah, let's hope so. We'll keep our eye out on that one. Anything else?
Yeah, there's a bumper that I've been following. Not at a track you'd normally associate with top-class form. That's Worcester. On the 19th of October of last year, there was a bumper won by a horse called Monty's Award that's thrown up a glut of winners. And my nap on Saturday was a horse called Dame Rose, who finished fifth in that race, went 16-1. Didn't reappear until Doncaster on Saturday, a few months later. Was 25-1 with us here at William Hill the night before. Went off at 10-1 and won by over three lengths. Plenty of other winners have come out of that race. The 9th, Perfect Pirate, won at Toaster next time at 40-1. The 8th, Grey Dag, landed a gamble in a novice hurdle at Leicester. And horses like Alpha Male for Nicky Henderson was actually the 9-2 favourite for that Worcester bumper. Only finished 7th, but next time out was 3rd at 66-1 at Newbury. And you know, the 6th, Forza Milan, 2nd next time out at 50-1. So the 2nd, 3rd, 4th have all come out as well and either won or gone close. And so certainly worth bearing in mind the winner of that, Monty's Award, trained by Charlie Longston. Has not raced since that 19th of October race, but when he comes out, the form couldn't have been advertised any better.
No.
And he could be a potential star.
So just to clarify on what you've said, Monty's Award.
Monty's Award, only had one run in a bumper, did win that. I'm not sure whether he's entered in the champion bumper at all or whether that would be a little bit too soon in his career, but he looks a horse to follow. And Wind, Place and Show for James Eustace. Now handicapped after three runs in maiden hurdles at Doncaster, a track that won't suit. So as soon as he gets on a track with a stiff uphill finish, he could be leaving that form well behind.
Okay, we'll look out for those two then. Interesting that bumper's thrown up so many winners.
Yeah, well, there's a typical tale of punter's woe with the 50-1 winner, well, 40-1 winner, Perfect Pirate, that came out of that. I had it on my tracker, but I had quite a few horses on my tracker that day and didn't scroll down to Perfect Pirate. Stopped at the horse above it thinking that was it for the day and then went back later that day and realised what I'd done.
If it had been running on a quieter day, it might have been a completely
Absolutely.
Different story. Okay, so a couple to look out for there. I just want to give a mention as well to Keith Reevely. Now, we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon, so we don't know the results yet at Suville later on in the card, but we wish Keith all the best because he's taking retirement from training. Still be involved, I imagine, but he's stepping back, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right, and not had a great deal of runners in recent years. Certainly not a great deal of winners, although in the past fortnight he's had three runners and two of those have finished second. Brocktoon Papagio at 13-2 and Flora Moss at 11-4. So hopefully his, you know, one of his two subtle runners can go out and on a high today.
Yeah, it's been noticeable, the scaling back really of the amount of runners that he's had. But we wish him all the best and good luck with the final couple of runners at Southwell. And finally, the headline making the front of the Racing Post. Oh, it's old Yanworth again, and it looks like we're going to see him at the weekend.
Yes, indeed, and I'm not sure what price he is for the champion hurdle now, but he's near the head of the betting, I expect, and he's still yet to convince as a top-class two-miler, and I think he needs to put in a good performance on Saturday in that listed contest at Sandown if he's going to convince of his champion hurdle claims and be able to take on the likes of Forheen.
Yeah, we'll see that race fascinating with all the different twists and turns we've seen over the past couple of weeks. But look out for that at the weekend. We'll have full build-up here on the Racing Podcast, no doubt. Right, we're going to take a look at the cards on Wednesday. There's action from Kempton and Newcastle, Newcastle being the Twilight Meeting. Leicester and Hereford are the National Hunt races on Wednesday. We'll start with Hereford and we'll go for the 3:30, which is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over the 3 miles... 3 miles and one, actually, and there are 11 runners here. Andrew, what's your standout here on the heavy ground?
Yeah, there were a couple that interested me. One of those was Belmount for the informed Nigel Twist and Davis team. He's a course and distance winner back in October, and his recent efforts have come in better class races. He's sort of finished down the field in a couple of class two contests at Sandown and Cheltenham. So back in a class three at the scene of his latest win, I thought he could go well. Ideally, he could do with a few dropping out, though, because his six career wins have come in fields of eight or fewer runners. And he's one of these who likes a small field. So, if there's a few non-runners, which there may well be because of the heavy going, then Belmont should run well. But I think the one I'm going to have to side with is the reappearing Streets of Promise for the Michael Scudamore Yard. This one has won his last three completed starts at Toaster, Newcastle and Wetherby at the tail end of last season. So it hasn't been seen since. But it's interesting that he reappears on a right-handed track because even though he's won left-handed a few times, he does tend to jump out to his right. And he's only had two runs this way round and he's won both of those at Wincanton and at Toaster. He's got plenty of form on soft and heavy going. So on a right-handed track with hock-deep mud, and with the yard amongst the winners in the shape of Michael Scudamore, who's been doing well with the likes of 28 guns this season, I think the mare can make a winning reappearance.
Okay, yeah, that's the selection in the 3:30. Streets of Promise in that one. And look out for Belmount as well, who has got a claiming jockey on board this time around for Nigel Twist and Davis. That's the handicap chase at 3:30 from Hereford. We'll move next to Leicester and we're going to take a look at the 3:40. This is a handicap chase, class three, for 5-year-olds and above. And nice sized field at the moment, at the time of recording, 12 go here.
Yeah, this looks particularly competitive. The one that catches the eye, though, and indeed the standout, has got to be fingers on the switch for the inform Neil Mulholland Yard. Mulholland is absolutely flying at the moment, although it sadly wasn't with Southfield Royale, who I backed for the Skybet Chase at Doncaster last Saturday. But he's won now with like four of his last eight runners. Two of the beaten horses had finished second. And one of those winners was Fingers on the Switch, who was a nine-length winner of a handicap chase at Wetherby on the 24th of January. First time in the tongue tie and cheek pieces headgear combination, which he wears again. And given the ease of that success, I don't think a £7 penalty is going to stop this one. So it probably won't be a great price, but I think Fingers on the Switch is on the up and is the one to side with in this handicap chase.
Okay, I should also mention, by the way, that Leicester is the meeting here at William Hill, where you can qualify for high five bets, which is if your horse wins by five lengths or more, you'll get a 25% win bonus. If your horse is beaten into second by five lengths or more, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And as Andrew was just saying, their finger on the switch has won easily before, so that could be one to have on your side if you're taking that promotion on Wednesday. Right, we're off to Kempton next, and then we'll head to Newcastle for our final race. At the 4:50, though, over the all-weather, is a handicap over the mile and three. And I've given you another sizeable field here with 14 to look at.
I really wanted to thank you for this one because not only is it a 14-runner competitive 1 mile, 3 furlong handicap, it's also a qualifier. And you wonder if you know, some of these trainers have got an eye to the future and a handicap mark with some of these runners. So, yeah, particularly difficult one. One that did interest me when I first glanced at the list of runners was the top weight Giant Steps Ahead, just because his trainer Alan Bailey had a 20-1 winner at Southall on Monday, and this one will be better suited by Kempton, where his front running style is more effective than at Wolverhampton, where he faded into seventh after making the running last time. It's really hard to make the running over a mile and a half on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton, so to go down by just 3 lengths that day was a pretty good effort. Again, the downside is, though, that he tends to do better in smaller fields. 4 of his 5 wins have come in fields of 7 or less. The other did come in a field of 12 at Kempton over a mile and a half when allowed to set a sedate pace. So if Giant Steps Ahead is afforded a soft lead, then he could go well. But just looking through them quickly, there are 1 or 2 other pace options in here, so that's probably going to be unlikely. Monsieur Roussac got a decent speed figure when winning at Chelmsford last time on the 19th of January, but I worry about following the winners from that meeting because there was a massive draw and pace bias that day. If you weren't prominent and round the inside, you were in real trouble. And Monsieur Roussac was described as chase leader, led 2 furlongs out. So I've got it you know, on my radar to oppose all the winners from that meeting, so I'm going to take this one on. And the one I've come down on the side of is number 4, Alcatraz, for trainer George Baker and informed jockey Adam Kirby. Now, this one ran over a mile and a half here last time out, a furlong further than this trip, and was second to Sinochian Star. Now, although Sinochian Star won relatively comfortably in that amateur riders handicap, it certainly franked the form since. Stepped up to Class 2 company from Class 4 at Lingfield next time. He was third, going down narrowly in a 3-way go. And then he won a Class 3 handicap at Lingfield on Saturday. So the form's working out. And to get within a length and a quarter of that one was a decent effort from Alcatraz that day. And I think with Adam Kirby doing the steering, taking over from an amateur, Alcatraz could be the way to go in this very competitive contest.
Okay, yeah, Alcatraz the selection then in the 4:50 at Kempton, for which I apologise. 6 o'clock Newcastle, again, we're on the all-weather here, and it's a Class 4 handicap over the 7 furlongs. Just the 6 here to sort out.
Yes, indeed, but still not the easiest one to solve. Newcastle's a fascinating track. You know, one day it can favour low numbers on the straight course and prominent races. The next day it can be hold-up horses coming from a high draw down the stand side. And it often depends on the wind speed and direction. And we've had a few meetings recently where there's been a really strong headwind and the front runners have suffered terribly. Now, Taylor's Row stands out here, given his breeding. He's by Street Cry, and Street Cry progeny have got a good record in excess of 20% here at Newcastle. This one's been running well, going down narrowly at Lingfield on New Year's Eve, and then was second by a length to Vatican Hill, who reopposes today, over 7 furlongs at Wolverhampton last time. So back on a straight track for the first time since finishing third in a good nursery at York last summer. As long as the wind is behind the runners, or at least there's no strong headwind. And I think Taylor's Row could be the way to go here for Joe Fanning and Mark Johnson, who've been in good form at this track in recent weeks.
Yep, that's Taylor's Row in the 6 o'clock at Newcastle. The final race we're going to look at on Wednesday, the 1st of February. Andrew, thank you very much for your selections and good luck with them all as well.
Thank you, Jack. Shall I just recap quickly?
Yes.
Okay, the 3:30 at Hereford, I'm going for the reappearing mare Streets of Promise, bidding for a 4th win from a last 4 completed starts. Then we're to Leicester for the 3:40, where Finger on the Switch, very impressive at Wetherby last week, can go in again. Then we're on to the flat for the 4:50 at Kempton, and a very tricky mile 3 contest with 14 runners. I'm going for Alcatraz. And finally, we're up at Newcastle for the 6 o'clock, and I'm with Taylor's Row for Mark Johnson.
Brilliant. Well, look out for those. You can follow all the coverage on William Hill's Racing Radio, and you can hear Andrew Mount as well on the station too. Andrew, thank you very much, and we will speak to you soon. The Racing Podcast will be back for Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.